All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, it's good to be back on the air here. Oh, man, it's good to be back. That's all I'm saying. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I missed. Listen, it's tough when you do. Listen, when you do what I do, okay? When you do what I do, and you're watching everything unfold for the week, and you can't say anything, you know what I'm saying? You're just like, you keep it in. I'll tell you, I didn't even watch the news as much as I, of course, do when I'm doing the show. I mean, there was days where I basically just ignored what was going on because it would make me nuts. Seriously, it would make me nuts. I would just be like, oh God, I got to say something. I got to say something. It literally would, it would make me nuts. Absolutely make me nuts. It was just, it was tough, but we got through it. So listen, to go along with the segment that we just talked about how the news didn't cover. Absolutely refused to cover this weekend because it does nothing for the Democrats. I mean, it's bad for the Democrats. When you cover what happened in Milwaukee, it's bad for the Democrats and it's good for Trump. We touched on the police officer that was killed, the Georgia police officer that was killed that also you didn't hear about. No one's talking about it on the news today. Nobody's talking about it at all. No one's talking about it at all. Because, again, does nothing for the Democrats. And does everything for Republicans and Trump. But as an update, I will give you... a person has been arrested. The police officer, Tim Smith, who was shot Saturday night by Royham Delshawn Deeds. That's the suspect. 24-year-old Royham Delshawn Deeds. Police officer was killed when he got out of his patrol car and confronted the suspect while responding to a 911 call. So, Rohan Deeds has been arrested. You would think that would make national news. Nope. So, that's just a little follow-up because we talked about in the last segment about the police officer being shot. So they caught the guy, they killed the cop, no one's reporting it, of course, and it didn't happen. Basically, that's it. Didn't happen. All right. So, in the beginning of the show, we talked a little about this Trump... just this media, systematic media takedown. That's all. I mean, jeez. Seriously. This media takedown, which has been something that I've never seen before. Never seen it before. Never, ever seen it before in my life. I mean, it's just been amazing. Really has. It's been amazing how the networks and the newspapers and the internet sites can all systematically be on the same page and take each other's talking points and just grind. I literally grind. And if there's something bad for Hillary, something bad for the Democrats, to then find something involving Trump, rather it's the exact same, or kind of close, to then put at the front and divert everybody away from the Hillary Clinton message. Now, to all my Republican friends that say, see, this is what happens when you elect Trump. This is what happens when you have Trump. This is, you know, this is going to happen. Listen, I've said this before. I'll say it again. It would have happened if it was Marco Rubio. It would have happened if it was Ted Cruz. It would have happened if it was Chris Christie. It would have happened if it was Jeb Bush. It would have happened if any of them. It would have been a 24/7 round the clock takedown of whoever that Republican candidate was. I mean, remember back in 2012. Remember back in 2012, the media and where we are today was different than back in 2012. It really was. And think of 2012. Just think of the Candy Crowley moment with Mitt Romney. Think of a book, Women Full of Binders. Remember when Romney said that? That was replayed. That was replayed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on every single media outlet there was. Romney and the dog on top of his roof. Remember that? Remember that? So it doesn't matter who the candidate was. I'll say this again, and I've said it before. Democrats control the media. The media is controlled by Democrats. Okay? Plain and simple. Plain and simple. You're not going to let your foot off the gas because Marco Rubio is a little bit more likable than Donald Trump. You're Mark Zuckerberg. You own Facebook. Everybody that works for you are a bunch of millennial hipster douchebags with their journalism degrees from their little community colleges and their little liberal circle of hipster douchey friends. They're not all of a sudden going to go, you know what? I really like that Ted Cruz. Yeah, I really like that Ted Cruz. As the loop is played over and over and over of the pastor that hosted the event where Bobby Jindal and Ted Cruz spoke at, and before they spoke, the pastor talks about homosexuals should be killed. They should die. While that is played on a continuous loop 24 hours a day, and as the pastor's like, in death to the homosexual, they died, kill them, murder, murder. And now let's welcome Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz walks out that stupid grin. Sure. Yeah. Those Facebook douchebags are going to be like, yeah, you know, that Ted Cruz, he's a really cool guy. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So there's no way the Democrats and the look at Hollywood. I mean, just please. There's no way these giants, these behemoths of industry are going to give up their power. It's not going to happen. Absolutely not going to happen. Absolutely not going to happen. Jeff Bezos of Washington Post isn't going to give up that power. They're not going to give up that power because Jeb Bush is more likable than Donald Trump. Wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. And it's still not going to happen. 2012, we just got a taste. I told you, when Clinton, when Gore lost to Jeb, or Jeb, when Gore lost to George, okay, when Gore lost, now the wheels are already in motion with Clinton as far as the media back in the 90s. The wheels, remember, the internet and that tech boom was created under Bill Clinton's presidency. He had nothing to do with it. It just happened during his presidency. But they're all liberals. They're all Democrats. Groundwork. It's like they tested it back then. Any other time, and any Republican would never have survived what happened with Bill Clinton. Never, ever. So they tested it then. They tested how it is to control the media back in the 90s, like really starting to go, okay, all right, how do we craft a message? How do we protect this president? How do we protect our own interests? How do we, you know, organize this? They crafted it then. That was the start. And it worked. Bill Clinton survived something that no one would survive now. No one would survive that. No, I mean, come on. Come on. That entire just ordeal, that months and months of this lie, that lie, grand jury, taped broadcast, cigars. I mean, forget about it. Forget about it. Never, ever. Never, ever. Never, ever, ever would have happened. Never. Never survived. Never would have survived. Absolutely never would have survived. So they laid the groundwork in the 90s. 2000, Gore loses. Democrats are like, how did this happen? This stiff wooden putz. How did this happen? And that was that. Democrats have never looked back since. Never looked back since. I mean, when George Bush and the Republicans were in the White House, man, the media lit him up. I mean, they every single day, they lit George Bush up. Lit him up. Lit him up. Just lit him up. And he never fought back. He never got all nasty with people like Obama. Listen, Obama gets nasty. Obama, during his presidency, straight up calls out reporters. Does it in a little witty way, but, you know, Obama pushed back. His administration pushed back. So there's no way that Democrats were going to ever lose control of the White House. Never going to happen. And like I've said before, the Trump candidacy basically has flushed out. He flushed out the liberals. And I see more and more people picking up on the things that I've said as far as CNN and MSNBC and Washington Post and New York Times, to the point where there is no pretending they're straight news organization. When Wolf Blitzer is dancing and drinking champagne with Dana Bash and they're partying, I mean, they're, listen, when they're doing that at the Clinton convention, they're not hiding anything. There's no, we're objective journalists. No, it's not. They've given up. They've all given up on that. They've given up on that notion that they're going to be objective. So Trump at least has flushed these people out. I mean, the media will never, ever, ever be looked at the same. They'll never be looked at the same again. It'll never, ever happen. It'll never happen. You know, when you see these articles from these reporters like that little Katie Turr, and she does a piece where, you know, people at the Trump rallies, I never knew what it was like, and it was, they were angry, and they screamed at me, and I had to be escorted to my car, and then I really realized, oh my God. But these people, have been flushed out. The people like Katie Turr have been flushed out because they've always supposed to have been reporters. They've always just supposed to have been, hi, how are you? Here's a question. Oh, thank you. Goodbye. And Trump flushed them out where all of a sudden Katie Turr is not a reporter. She's an opinion reporter. And then they're shocked. They're shocked that they're somewhere and people who watch them give their opinions back to them. Like I told you before, reporters are the biggest keyboard warriors out there. There's nobody that has thin skin and are bigger punks than reporters, journalists, nobody. Absolutely nobody. As long as I can remember, they've all been given a pass. They're allowed to write what they want to write. They're able to say what they want to say. And if you should push back, you're not being presidential, or you're not being an adult, or you're not being whatever weird, unwritten, written rule there is that a Katie Turr every other half-ass liberal arts journalism degree, major, whatever the hell they are, They're allowed to write what they want. They're allowed to say what they want. They're allowed to have whatever opinion that they want, no matter how wrong it is, or no matter how mean-spirited it is. And if there's any pushback, you're wrong. You're wrong. So they've always been able to get away with this. They've always been able to get away with this. Somehow, free speech has become, and well, it was always, I shouldn't say has become, now it's kind of being shattered, but the whole free speech meant reporters, journalists, bloggers, whatever, are allowed to write and say whatever they want, and no one's allowed to push back, because if you do, then you're stifling free speech. That's basically how it's always been. That's how, and with Trump, people are pushing back. Trump supporters are pushing back. So when Katie Turr goes to an event and she's standing back there with her little smug face, and people go, "Hey, Katie, you're a scumbag. The things you write are BS. She's like, "What? What's going on? All these people are being so mean." Because they're keyboard warriors. They want to be able to write what they want and say what they want behind the confines of their keyboard or behind the confines of a studio. And then you're not allowed to say anything to them. And when you do, they're shocked. Why would you say that? What do you mean, why? You just wrote a huge piece where you called Trump, or you called his supporters racist, or you compared them to Nazi followers. So now these people see you and they go, "Hey, you little piece of crap, you little scumbag, you're a worthless garbage dump." And you're shocked. You're shocked. I mean, that's the amazing thing. That's the amazing thing. And if you're on Twitter and you say something to these reporters, half-assed reporters, they call you a troll. Oh, these Twitter trolls. Again, so you're in this weird alternate universe. You go on and write an article that says, "Trump is Mussolini, Trump is Hitler, his followers are little KK members, have a good day." And when someone calls you out and says, "Hey, you know what, you're a little piece of crap," you block them and then call them a troll. And then complain that you're being bullied on Twitter, being bullied on social media because of my article. They're allowed to write an article, free speech. But then somehow free speech covers criticism. You're not allowed to criticize the article. You're not allowed to criticize them. It's amazing. It's amazing. So Trump is at least with his candidacy flushed this out, because it will never, we will never ever go back to a day where politics is this sterile whatever. We'll never go back to that. Trust me. Out of Trump's candidacy, there will be a movement. I mean, there's already a movement, but rather he wins or he loses. And listen, all you Trump supporters, don't believe this narrative. Don't believe this narrative. Because remember, a month and a half ago, when Trump was up, the media, the Democrats, all the pundits, what was their talking point? "Oh, there's 3 months to go. There's 3 months to go. Polls mean nothing now. These are just snapshots in time. It's meaningless." That's when Trump was winning. Now Trump is down and it's over. Put a fork in him. It's done. it's going to be a landslide. It's going to be a disaster for the GOP, for Trump. A month ago, it was too early, a lot of time. You got debates. You've got a lot of things. Now, it's over. It's finished. Forget the debates. It's finished. It's done. And remember, as long as the media keeps beating that drum, that low-information voter goes, yeah, I don't want to go with a loser. I don't want to go with Trump. I don't have to go with Hillary. Long as the media keeps beating that drum, beat, 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 beat. Beat, 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 beat. So here's an example. And this happened when I was gone. And this is an example of how the media and how, again, it's just amazing to watch a CNN and NBC. When I say MSNBC, I shouldn't necessarily say MSNBC in the same as CNN or ABC, because MSNBC doesn't hide the fact that they are the liberal mouthpiece. They're the mouthpiece for the Democrats. I mean, yes, some of the people try to pretend they're real news. You know, they put down Fox. Oh, that's just a Republican propaganda. Well, what the hell are you, you dummy? What the hell's Lawrence O'Donnell and Rachel Maddow? What is that? What is that? Rachel Maddow is somehow a better, like, she's a reporter compared to Sean Hannity? Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's amazing. It's always amazing to me how people look at Rachel Maddow as somehow being this noble reporter, and she's just straight down the middle. She's no different than Sean Hannity, except she failed on radio. She was on radio. She had a radio show, Air America. It was a liberal network. Liberal satellite, liberal garbage, radio, garbage. It's crap. Here's an example. So Hillary Clinton, and I'm sure I'm not telling you something you don't know, but this is our first time together, and we're flushing these things out. So Hillary Clinton has a rally in Florida, and sitting behind her is the terrorist's father, that Mateen. Remember the terrorist's father from the nightclub shooting? You know, the nightclub shooting. The nightclub, the 50 homosexuals slaughtered, or 49 homosexuals slaughtered. You know, the wife missing. Like, remember her? Remember the wife that took Mateen to scope out the club, and she took him to buy ammunition? Remember? She's gone. You don't really hear about that, do you? Of course not. Of course not. Gone. Now, the father, remember the father? He's a Taliban sympathizer. He had a local, it wasn't really local. It was a program that was actually in a studio out here in California, where he would do, I think it was once a month, something like that. It would beam out in the Pakistan and Afghanistan. And it was pro-Taliban. It was pro-Taliban, anti-American. And the father, Mateen's father, had talked about, homosexuals should be put to death. I mean, the guy's anti-American, plain and simple. Plain and simple. Well, here's this Hillary Clinton campaign, and he's sitting right behind her. He's sitting right behind her. He's sitting in these plum seats where you got to know somebody or you got to be invited to get on camera. They don't just let anybody on camera in these types of events. Remember, Hillary Clinton doesn't do arena events. She's not like, she doesn't get the following. She doesn't get the crowds. You know, that's always fascinating to me. So you look at a place like Florida. Hillary Clinton's beating Trump by 12 points. By 12 points. Beating Trump by 12 points. And then you see a Hillary Clinton rally, and there's 1,000 people. You see a Donald Trump rally, and there's 20,000 people. And you're like, I don't get that. And yet she's just destroying him in Florida. Okay. Again, I will still say these polls, remember, the polls are even when Trump was ahead, they're still skewed. Now, anti-Trump people, and I'm not talking about Democrats, you're anti-Trump people, you're Mark Levins, and these putzes like to say, oh, yeah, all the polls are true. These are real polls. You can't say that. That's insane to say all these polls are skewed. Well, you're talking about an ABC, Washington Post poll? Come on, really? NBC? Really? I look at the polls that I look at that are most credible are the ones that have Trump around 4 or 5 points. Because that's legitimately where I think it is. But 12 points, 15, BS. It's a narrative. It's a narrative. You could make a poll. You could do a poll and make it a poll be skewed to show that people want to have sex with donkeys. I'm telling you, you could have a poll and you could skew a poll where it's legit poll and you have a sampling of people, but you could do it where it says, by a slim margin of 51%, people want to have sex with donkeys. You could do it. You can make a poll say anything. It's easy. The way they conduct it, rather, the sampling is of older people, younger people. If they're multiple choice, process of elimination, it's easy. It's easy. Put the donkey, put a man, put a rock, put a piece of tuna, whatever. And you tell the people, okay, what would be your first choice? What would be your second choice? If you had to, what would be it? You start doing these, because that's how they do it. It's how these polls are done. But anyways, I'm getting off the beaten path. So you got the terrorist's father sitting behind Hillary Clinton. He didn't just happen upon that seat. He didn't happen to go, oh, wow, look, I got this great seat. No. No. That's not how it happened. So there he is, sitting there behind Hillary Clinton, all smiling. He's all happy as a clam. Whee! Look, I'm the terrorist father. And it's not just the terrorist father. It's not just the terrorist father. It's not like, you know, the Columbine parents are somewhere. And you're like, oh, man, those poor innocent. No. You're talking about the terrorist father, a guy that's anti-American, a guy that's pro-Taliban, a guy that's anti-gay. You look at the son and go, where would he get some of these ideas? You look at the dad. Duh. It's not like the Columbine the parents or the Newtown father. It's not like they're you know, been secretly wanting to kill kids and attack schools. But the terrorist dad, he's has anti-American speeches. He's anti-America. Plain and simple. So he's sitting behind Hillary Clinton. He's, and I'm looking at this report, and I'm like, wow, that's horrible. I mean, that's horrible. That's horrible. That's like, imagine Trump having a rally in Georgia or North Carolina, and behind him are a bunch of like Dylan Ruff family members. And not just your, again, like I said, not your innocent family member where you're like, I don't know what happened. Like, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer's parents. Granted, the optics are bad. The optics are bad. Innocent or not, the optics are bad. But actually contributing to those thoughts and the death and destruction, I mean, come on now. So imagine, you got Dylan Ruff's family members. So say, I mean, seriously. And they're sitting there and, you know, maybe one of them's got a Confederate flag shirt. Maybe one of them's got a hat. I mean, people would be losing their minds. People would be losing their minds. People, I mean, we'd still be talking about it today. Remember with the Khan family. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like every day, round the clock, over and over, over and over, over and over. So imagine that. Imagine if Trump did that. So this goes viral. And, of course, CNN's got to cover it because when they're getting blasted, they got to at least show a little clip. They got to do a little clip. That way when Jake Tapper is doing an interview with Manafort or some other Trump supporter and they bring up the media and how the media is all liberal and they're all for Hillary. And Jake Tapper goes, what are you talking about? We talk about it on the show. No, you talk. Yeah, it was a blurb, Jake. You putz. It was a blurb. It was a blurb. You guys put it on as a blurb. It was a blurb. You did it so you could say we talked about it. But you didn't talk about it. You didn't spend hours and hours and hours. You didn't spend from 9 a.m. until 10 o'clock. Zucker didn't have it programmed on every single show from Keeler to Lemon to Cooper. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. So here you got Mateen, the father. And no sooner than this gets a blurb, no sooner that people on the internet and people on Twitter and Fox and on talk radio, no sooner than all of them discussing this, saying, hey, this is bad. CNN goes, oh, wait, everybody. Wait. All of you, wait 1 second. I mean, it was like a news flash. Seriously. It was like breaking news. I swear. It was breaking news. And it was on CNN. It was Politico, Huffington Post. I mean, BuzzFeed, you name it. it with breaking news. Donald Trump, former U.S. Rep. Mark Foley, at his campaign rally, look, and there's former Congressman Mark Foley sitting to the right of Trump, and they're circling him. Look, see, look, that was breaking news. I mean, now you want to talk about round-the-clock coverage. Holy smackerel. I mean, round-the-clock. Round-the-clock. MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, everybody led with, it was like a car crash. It was like a car or a record scratches. It's like stop the Hillary Clinton and the terrorist's father, who's also a terrorist sympathizer. Forget that. We have something bigger. Donald Trump, guess what? Donald Trump has disgraced former U.S. Rep. Mark Foley at his campaign event. Aha! I was floored. I literally was floored. It was amazing to me to watch CNN and every other news outlet on the internet basically put the Hillary Clinton and terrorist father on the back burner. Basically say, you know what? Fine. Hillary Clinton had a terrorist sympathizer at her rally. Yes. But Donald Trump had Mark Foley at his. So the Hillary Clinton terrorist rally, that's null and void. Trumped her. That's what they said. Now, those of you who don't know who Mark Foley is, okay? Back in 06, Mark Foley was accused of making sexual advances toward congressional pages. Okay? He didn't go to jail. Now, again, I'm not saying that, making sexual advances to congressional pages under the age of 18 is something that's cool and awesome. But, I mean, guys, going into a nightclub and killing 49 homosexuals in the name of ISIS and having your father support you and support your twisted ideology is a little different than sending explicit messages to male pages that were under 18. I mean, I don't want to get into age of consent, but on this show, we've actually done a funny bit where I was shocked at the fact that the age of consent is not 18 across the nation. I always thought you can't have sex with anybody under 18. But we were doing a story many, 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 many months ago where the majority of states were 17. And then there were states that were 16. Then there were states that were 15. And I think we even found a couple states that were 14. You could get married when you're 14. when your parents sign off. So saying that Mark Foley sending a sext, okay, a sext text. I don't even think they had texting back then. Yeah, I think they did. But I think somebody sending a 17-year-old page or a 16-year-old page who's on Capitol Hill a text message about his ass looking cute. I mean, I know it's creepy, but saying that's the same as slaughtering 49 gay people in a club in the name of ISIS is some real twisted Democrat media logic, man. That it really is. It really is. To say, yeah, okay, Hillary has a terrorist father. Yes. A father who's also been involved in terrorist. Yes, all of the ISIS, terrorism, murder. Yes. But Trumped her because he's got a congressman sitting at his rally who sent texts to guys who were under the age of 18 talking about how their asses looked good in those pants. So there you go. What? What? Come on. Really? And that's it. The media, that was the new narrative. That was their new get out of Hillary Clinton jail card. Seriously. It was like, what did Hillary, she had terrorism, what? We got it. We'll trump that. Don't worry about it. We'll trump that. We got Foley. Foley's over at the Trump rally. Foley, are you kidding me? Well, yeah, that's way worse. It is? Yeah, don't worry about it. We're going to make it way worse. Okay. And that's what they did. I was amazed. I was like, wow. I was like, man, they got balls. They got balls. How they were able to pull that off. It was amazing. Got to applaud them. They spectacular, absolutely spectacular, absolutely spectacular. How they're able to pull that off, absolutely spectacular, and it just kept going. I mean, it was like a constant barrage. Constant barrage. Every day I turned on. And then the whole Second Amendment. The whole Trump is calling for the assassination of Hillary Clinton. I'm like, what? I said I got to hear this. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay. Second Amendment people, you must. Maybe they could do something. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I didn't hear Trump telling people to go out and kill Hillary Clinton. And then I actually watched people go, well, he didn't say go out and kill her, but he alluded to it. He alluded to it by saying the Second Amendment people, they could actually do something about it. And I'm like, okay, let me. No, I still don't hear it. I don't see it. I'm hearing the NRA. I'm hearing a call to a group. Okay, I'm hearing a call to a group that, remember this. Remember what I'm going to say to you. Democrats, the media, and every other liberal hipster in between is constantly telling everybody that the NRA is the most powerful lobby in the world. In the world, we are constantly told the NRA is the most powerful lobby in the world. That they control more politicians, they control more governors, they control they control everybody. We are constantly told the NRA is the most powerful lobbying group known to mankind. When I hear Trump firing up the NRA, firing up that group and saying, you can stop Hillary Clinton. You are the most powerful lobbying group in the world. Democrats are afraid of you. The media is afraid of you. Well, now show your muscle. Vote. Get your friends to vote. Donate money. Now, I've heard people go, well, that's what Trump should have said. He should have said, get out and vote. Well, listen, he's not a politician, a-holes. He's not a politician. Like we talked about last week before we went on vacation. He hasn't been doing this all of his life. That is why the media hates him. That is why Democrats and Republicans, politicians, they all hate him. Because here's a guy that's been in business all of his life. Here's a guy that's been married 3 times. Here's a guy that's had a life of excess and beautiful women and Lear jets and beluga caviar and you name it. And he pops up on the political scene after everybody says he will not run, and he beats the hell out of 16 other politicians who were supposed to beat the hell out of him. He defies every single odd. 10-1, 5-1, 2-1, 100-1, he defied it all, he beat it all. So he's not a politician. He's not a polished politician. But you really got to be grasping. Listen, you can't refer back to previous Trump speeches and go, well, he's incited violence before. Okay, and what did he say? I'd like to punch that guy. Hey, I'll pay for your bail or I'll pay for whatever if you punch that guy. I will do, whatever the hell it is. He's come out and said he's never used coded language. So when you refer to him in the past saying, well, he's incited violence before. Yeah, he's said, I'd like to punch that guy. So now all of a sudden, Trump's not going to use blunt talk. He's going to be cutesy. No. No, you can't have it both ways. He's not a trained politician. He's not a little monkey. It's not him. So what he said was, get out and vote, donate money, don't sit around on your ass. Do what Democrats say you are. Do what the media says you are. Be the strongest, most powerful lobby in the world. Do that. Be that. But man, it was round the clock. Trump suggests assassination. Trump says to kill Hillary Clinton. Trump. And I'm just thinking, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, I don't hear it. I mean, Hillary Clinton did say worse and actually meant what she said. And as Jake Tapper said to Paul Manafort, but she apologized. Well, because what she said was really bad. Trump wasn't saying, let's go kill Hillary Clinton. But Hillary Clinton was saying, let's kill Barack Obama. When she was asked, why is she still in the race back in 08? And she referenced Kennedy being killed. She referenced Bobby Kennedy and him being assassinated in that hotel. She referenced it. So she basically said, hey, I'm still in the race because somebody could go kill Obama. And if they kill Obama, then I'm your nominee. So, yeah, she apologized for it because what she said was pretty harsh. She knew exactly what she was saying. We've never had a black president before. We never had a black nominee before. It's very likely somebody could do to him what they did to Martin Luther King. And should that happen, I'm going to be there to pick up them pieces, them brain pieces, that skull, and be the nominee. What Trump said was nothing, absolutely nothing. And when I watched these news programs talk about this, Trump, what a new round of headaches for the GOP. The GOP gonna dump Trump. The GOP gonna dump Trump. That's all they kept saying. Is this it? Really? How's that gonna happen? How's that gonna happen? Rens Priebus goes, we decided Trump's not gonna be our nominee. Really? How's that? How would that work out? How would that work out? Like I said before, when they talked about a brokered convention and taking the nomination away from Trump then. So what are you going to do with Trump? Like, what do you do with Trump? You got to kill him. You got to kill him. You got to blow up his plane. You got to blow up the Trump Tower. What do you do with the guy? What do you do with him? It's the same thing. When the whole assassination of Hillary Clinton came up. Oh, boy, they're going to dump him. So then what do you do with Trump? What do you do with him? Paul Ryan is now our nominee. And what do you do with Trump and Pence? And Trump just goes away, right? That's it. He goes away. What are you guys? Wow, God. Guys are just insane. And people believe this stuff. Remember before I went away, the big news was Trump is going to get out. Trump's going to get out. Wolf Blitzer. Dana Bash. Trump's going to get out. They heard. Who did you hear from? Well, we didn't really hear from anybody particular. That's just the buzz that's going. You didn't hear from anybody particular? These are all the people. Well, it amazes me. These are all the people that criticize Trump when Trump brings up the National Enquirer. You know, when Trump references something from National Enquirer and Jake Tapper and Blitzer and everybody go, oh, the National Enquirer, oh, this guy is so stupid. Of course, they're forgetting that the National Enquirer broke countless stories. Gary Hart's story, it broke. The guy was the shoo-in to be the nominee, but he was a Donna Rice. Those pictures broke. He's gone. John Edwards broke it. OJ. I mean, the list goes on and on. So they dismiss those instances. They dismiss those, but they criticize the National Enquirer and scoff at it, and yet you have Wolf Blitzer and Dana Bash actually doing a story not based on fact, but based on just things people heard. They don't know who those people are, but people heard these things, and it's just kind of whirling around in the atmosphere. It's just kind of whirling around in the atmosphere. And they're grabbing it, and now they're basically doing a story about it. But there's no facts. It's just things that they heard, but they didn't necessarily hear it from one person. Just kind of like in this vat. I mean, that's worse than the Enquirer. And yet they scoff at Trump and the Enquirer. Same thing with that New York Times article. New York Times article comes out this weekend. And it's full of unnamed sources. Unnamed sources familiar with the campaign. Unnamed sources that are part of the campaign. The whole article. Going after Trump, I mean, what's new, I know, but it just, it's mind-blowing. People scoff at the Enquirer as being this trash, this garbage, and Trump being a guy full of conspiracy theories and being this wacko and this nut job. And you have the New York Times and Wolf Blitzer and Dana Bash doing exactly what the Enquirer does. Talking about things that they don't have factual evidence of. It's just rumor and innuendos. I mean, the New York Times piece is just full. Unnamed. Anonymous. What the hell kind of story is that? The Enquirer puts out a story that's full of unnamed and anonymous sources, and it's regarded as trash. The New York Times does the same thing, and it's gospel. It's gospel. Wolf Blitzer and Dana Bash, and it's reporting that is talked about all day on various outlets, various news outlets. Not one person has a substantiated fact, proof, anything that Trump is going to get out of the race. No one. Not one person. But yet they're all reporting it because there's unnamed sources. They don't have the unnamed sources. They haven't heard from the unnamed sources, but unnamed sources have told other people. And those people have told other people, and somehow that's in the vacuum. And that's been matriculated down, and it's now a story. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely just astonishing. Like I said, I've never seen a collectively, so many people involved with every facet of the media go after one person. I've never seen it. Like I said, we had glimmers of it in 2012. Just the media isn't what it is now opposed to then. And we've seen it during the Bush administration, but now the media, far as, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Yahoo and Google and Instagram, now it's just so immense. When that's all controlled by liberals, it's overwhelming. When the Washington Post and New York Times are just controlled by just liberals from top to bottom, it's overwhelming. You know, when so many media outlets have been gobbled up by liberals, and you watch them all putting out the same mess, it's overwhelming. You know, when you watch NBC and any affiliate of NBC, you know, MSNBC, CNBC, NBC, all their TV shows, and it's all one message: elect Hillary Clinton, destroy Donald Trump. It's overwhelming. It really is. It's overwhelming. When Trump, again, this week when I was gone, said the system is rigged, the election will be rigged, or it could be rigged. And to watch every single broadcaster from, again, you know the list, to watch every single one of them go, oh, this is ludicrous, this is ridiculous. To watch Obama say this is ludicrous, this is ridiculous. 1,000 when the election was rigged. It's like everybody conveniently pretends that didn't happen. Guys, in 2000. Now, I know I'm a Republican. I shouldn't be saying this. I should be on that it wasn't rigged, but it was rigged. In 2000, it was rigged. Al Gore should have been the president. That was rigged. That was a rigged election. We were a banana republic in 2000. The concept, okay? And I've said this before. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We elected somebody president who lost the popular vote was the day we needed to rework how we elect a president. The day somebody becomes president and the majority of the people did not vote for that person is a day we should have fixed how we vote for the president. Plain and simple. Seriously, plain and simple. Plain and simple. In 2000, the election was rigged. And to watch Obama scoff at Trump talking about a rigged election, a rigged system, to watch every single news anchor pretend 2000 didn't exist? To pretend Kennedy won his election because Chicago was rigged for him. So to watch Trump talk about rigged election, talk about making sure the election's not rigged, and watch the media create this bizarre alternate universe where our democracy has never, ever been rigged, been fixed. And to paint Trump as this kook, again, amazing. This week I was gone, it was amazing. It really was. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've never seen collectively every single media outlet together and pounce on things that you wouldn't think would get pounced on. I mean, to say elections are rigged and to be careful of that, to say that's some type of crackpot conspiracy theory is just bizarre to me. It's bizarre to me. And like I said, if you want to say, well, the Kennedy election, that was so long ago. Well, 2000 was rigged. 2000 was rigged, plain and simple, 100% rigged. 100% rigged. It was rigged. That was rigged. Al Gore should have been president. That was just amazing. 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 From the rigged elections to the Second Amendment to Foley. Just amazing watching just CNN and ABC and NBC, just watching all of them systematically go after Trump. Just never seen it before. Never seen it before. This is just like I said, it was art. It was art. It really was. It was art. Art, I say, art.